Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I sent a private message to my college roommate from when we were in Morgantown together, and she said her first response is like, ew, look at the siding, because she was concerned with how dirty the siding was.
Oh, the way the house looked?
Carrie stays in her place until I hit the nurse call button.
On your hospital
bill. I said, I need ice chips.
How did you get it for the price you got it for, though? Amazing.
Mike, you just got to keep your nose to the ground. You got to find it. Yeah.
The guy had only
been dead a few weeks.
That's right. But Alex Trebek knew that he was on the way out.
Yeah.
And Alex Trebek was very clear he didn't want anything to do with the selection process. I wish he'd owned that a little bit. I would have loved to have him.
Rumor has it he wouldn't ever go on the record, but he wanted Jenny McCarthy.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
You gotta say that little dee. You gotta say that little dee. If you don't say that little dee, you just
anyway.
You cry.
Pollywally doodle all the day.
Pollywally doodle. Pollywally doodle.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Calumet City, Illinois. Tupelo, Mississippi, ma'am.
Hey, Jack.
I ain't going to wear no mask.
Oh, Sandusky, Ohio. He would not wear a mask.
No, he wouldn't be vaccinated either. Sandusky, Ohio. Fredonia, New York. Lucas County, Ohio. And Altenkirchen, Germany.
Man, I don't want no shots.
Oh, my God. What a day. How are you? How's it going today?
Good. You've already had a day?
No, I'm fine. Everything's fine. We're just, we're checking out we're being our own advocate. Something we've talked about on this show an awful lot. Be your own advocate, and the stress will melt away like butter on the outside of a cooking turkey.
Is the fight of being your own advocate, does that cause the stress, or the end result of saying, well, at least we did something, but nothing happened?
I'm going to say there is less stress in our current situation, then there is sadness. I am a malaise, and my wife is in a funk. Mm-hmm. We are overwhelmingly saddened and disappointed because we feel as though this does not need to be, and we don't need to have our kid outside of school. And there would be people that would argue, mm-hmm. Well, you don't. Well, yeah, we do. We do. I don't trust it. We're playing a waiting game. We're going to see what happens. We're checking into options. There are vouchers that we can use, mm-hmm. to put him in another school, maybe private, that they will give. It's kind of a bullying clause where you can put your kid into a private school with a little help, because it's expensive to do that. And I wanted my kid to be a public school kid. But right now, as of last night, the school board in our little county down here voted 5-1. To stay with the policy of parents being able to opt out of math. Very brave.
Mm. Yeah, very, very,
very incredibly brave.
At least it was close.
Super close. Super close.
Would you call it a nail biter?
Oh, I don't know. Apparently they had to, I think once or twice maybe, they had to break up the meeting and call a recess because parents were screaming.
It's one of those.
No. Yeah.
They were so angry about that. I don't know which side was angrier.
Maybe they were cheering because of the 5-1 result.
Sure. Maybe they are. Look, we're in the minority down here. I'm aware of that.
That's even clearer now.
It's clear, and it's clear that elections matter. Don't want to talk about that.
What about Our Lady?
Hold on. I'm getting a spam call, as I do at the beginning of the show.
Oh, okay? Good.
Let me see what this is, okay? Show. All right. Oh, yeah. Hang up. Why even give me a bit?
They disrupt me
during the dinner hour, but why even give me a bit, you pricks?
Come on. Help me out here. Do something.
Anywho, I want to talk. Yes, go ahead.
So I'm asking because I'm generally curious as a private school child. Is Our Lady of the Immaculate Tuition, are they open to taking students at this point in the year?
The one we called one that was, I believe.
Got it.
And I would be too. Let me tell you something. I'd take kids in for that, okay?
Yeah.
All right, you want to talk about that? I'd have them in my garage. Yeah. All right?
Kind Absolutely. Of like Oscar during the pandemic calling a car dealership
Hello?
And saying, are you still
selling?
I just
lost you boys.
Oh, we're here.
Hello? We're here.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Yes, mm-hmm. we can hear you.
Why can I not hear you?
He was pushing his board.
I've lost you.
Oh, no.
I've left.
No.
Let me do that. That's why. And now I can hear you.
Oh, you're
you.
Back.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You're back.
Could you hear me
it's
before?
Yeah,
you
what
not
happened?
Me?
We could hear you the entire time.
As Fred Willard said.
Been here the whole time.
Yes.
What happened?
I hit a button accidentally because my big fat fingers that don't work on iPads because it's not designed to be a board.
No,
not designed
not
to be an audio board. Never should be used as an audio board.
Not at all.
It's
See
a multitasker.
That? The one that you have, you should throw it away.
Well, there's a physical one on the other side of the glass.
Yes.
There is
a physical that matches to this. So
they're better.
Yeah.
They're better to work with.
They are.
Getting back to what I was saying, you explore options. What you don't get over is the nagging feeling, and this is in no way. Well, it is political, but it's not political. What it is just safety. And I always thought that erring on the side of being safe was the best thing to do. I'm fine. If you think that they don't work, I guess that's the argument. I just don't understand
but it's
it.
It's easy
because
to be brave.
If I'm right, if I'm right, then you're going to, be, I don't even want to
Well,
talk
when you talk
about
safe than sorry, it's okay sometimes to be brave and brash if you're the one that it's affecting.
Yep.
But if you are being this way and it affects 30 kids in a room, possibly,
right.
And all of their families, possibly,
yep.
then
yep.
you should err on the side of safety always.
And it's not like we're not getting support from teachers, from parents
Scientists.
Around the country.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
What about giving him a gap year? He'll be taller than everybody next year.
And
in the sporting world, it'll be like one of those Dominican kids coming over.
I really enjoyed fifth grade.
I can't tell you how much I don't want to do that. So sucks.
He would be a five-star recruit.
Yeah.
Because it's just the way it is. He goes, I couldn't help the pandemic and I grew
I'm
so tall.
I'm a first grader, sir.
yeah. So there we are. It's what it is. You know what? Instead of talking about the thing we talk about, it's just depressing.
Yes.
It'll get more people depressed.
Don't get bummed.
I'd like to bitch about something else, if
Please.
I may. There is I don't know the listener that sent this to me, but someone gave me the heads up that we are not the only ones who have spotlighted this questionable hire by the powers that be at our favorite game show, Jeopardy.
Oh.
This is an article from NPR, and it is entitled, For a Show Full of Answers, Jeopardy's Host Selection Raises a Lot of Questions.
Ooh.
I love this.
And they get right down into it. Here's the first thing. Hiring the boss as the host requires extra care, and they didn't take any. So this guy we're talking about is Mike Richards.
Yeah.
Not his real name, I guarantee it.
He is the new host. He was named the new host. Don't think meow.
Look,
I don't believe she. We'll get to that. That's actually included in the article.
Good.
But he was named the host. Richards has hosting experience. He hosted Beauty and the Geek, an oddball WBCW show years ago.
Classic.
And he has hosted a couple of smaller shows, but his big cred are in producing. He has executive produced much bigger shows, including The Price is Right. I wonder if he had anything to do with the Carey, Drew Carey.
I wonder if he, what if he sort of made it uncomfortable for Bob?
No,
Bob
he would have been in high school at that point.
No, Bob isn't. He would still be.
Bob's been gone for like a decade.
I am gone.
Well, this person, who's the author of this article? Let me see. Here.
Someone that.
Linda Holmes writes.
A right-thinking American.
Yes.
Linda Holmes writes, she says she doesn't have a dog in the fight. She doesn't comment on the guy's hosting ability or anything like that.
I heard Mike Richards used to host dog fighting, too.
It looks a little hinky. She writes, there's no getting around the fact that when a guy comes in, as the production boss of a show, and what do you know? He's the host a year later. Mm. You have to be careful to avoid appearances of a sort of a sham process where the guy essentially hired himself.
Mike, don't I'm wondering, do you think maybe he came in and he was sort of a climber?
I don't know. Maybe if I kiss the right asses.
Am I the only one who thinks that Jeopardy needs me?
Got another film for you, Mr. Snyder.
These are the good stuff.
Don't get me wrong. Nobody who understands TV would think that he could hire himself with no input from anyone else, particularly Sony Pictures. But he talked like he was at least partly running the research as recently as April.
Yeah.
You can't, and he did.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're doing this, and then they started that. So that's the first point.
And also,
and I open it up to the floor. I think it's interesting.
Looking back to April when this whole dog and pony show started, not only was he one of the first tryouts as a fill-in, wasn't he sort of the guy that emceed the Alex Memorial stuff? Didn't he come out and say?
Yeah, he came in after he hosted for 2 weeks.
But I mean, when Alex's final shows were rolling out, he was the guy that came out and said, "Tonight is Alex's penultimate episode."
Yeah, I mean, you all called it. You said this guy's going to want this job.
Of course.
And who wouldn't?
Right? Yeah.
But will the network make the right call? And they did what corporate America does this all the time. Like, we're going to do a worldwide search for the next CEO of this company.
Right.
And it's always like the family member that had the inside track.
Yeah.
That's it's all somebody who's kissed the right ass or nepotism.
Or has Polaroids of, you know, another executive with a donkey.
Yeah. You would do, you know what you would do? You would put somebody on one night a week.
Yeah.
You'd bring in people one night a week.
Yes, yes.
Bingo, bango. Mm-hmm. And then you'd make your decision. I'll give you more. How about two nights? You give each of them two nights, and then you make the decision in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
No, the longer the process, the more it lends itself to something hinky going on. All right, so questions have percolated about whether Richards himself has been entirely candid. Richard said that his own guest hosting stint was sort of an accident, an emergency who me thing. But The Ringer, I don't know The Ringer. Do you guys follow The Ringer at all?
No, but I love the podcast network.
The Ringer has reported that this might not be so, and that some sources say he capitalized on a small logistical issue to put himself on the schedule.
This
is effing great.
To me, this couldn't be any less surprising.
I just have to share this whole thing. I rarely read an entire article.
And for those
article
of you that
like
are
Gordon
not
Liddy.
Jeopardy fans or talk show, or I'm sorry, or game show fans, if this is the equivalent of something happening to Mike and then me coming on and saying, "Hey, look at me. It's the Oscar Santana show with Rob Spiewak."
Right.
But I would never do that.
But no, what you would
Rob
do is...
Rob would do that. I would never do that.
What you would do is you would say... No, but what you would do is you'd
say...
No,
I have to jump in here.
No?
Because that could not happen.
Well,
because
I know
you,
I'm not
because
as talented
you,
as you.
You would have to be a behind-the-scenes person that's not on the air.
Okay.
Because this guy was the executive producer. That would be... All right, let me give you another example.
Yes, give me an example.
That would be the equivalent of, I no longer host the show, I buy the farm, and then a program director comes in and says, "I'm going to replace Mike."
Bingo, bango. Yeah. Bingo, bango.
But the program director first says, "I'm going to launch an exhaustive search."
Talent search.
Exactly.
And then it said, you know, "I love the job, blah, blah, blah." Let me continue to read here. In the statement in the statement he made after he was announced as the new host, Richard said, "Never in my wildest dreams could I have imagined being chosen to step into a role of this magnitude." Now, this is from a guy who also threw his hat in the ring to replace Bob Barker on The Price is Right.
He's been wanting this forever.
That is a key.
This is what he wants.
I could do it if you needed me to do it.
This is a key fact that I have never heard, that he was trying to get on The Price is Right. That's huge.
I don't know the timetable. I don't think they give it here, but he came to Jeopardy. This guy, Mike Richards, when it was going to need a new host. Who's going to believe he never thought about
that's
it?
That's genius. Yeah. He looked at the actuary tables and he says, "When am I going to get a shot?
Now is the time for me to stay."
Now, he could have just said, "I've been a producer more than I've been a host, but I've always dreamed of a job like this. I threw my hat in the ring, but I stepped back from the selection process to avoid influencing it as much as possible. That might have seemed a little more persuasive. They didn't say that, by the way. This is not something he ever could have imagined. It just seems tough to believe. I buy that.
Yeah.
I totally buy that. Anyway, number three, the two hosts thing is silly and, again, disingenuous.
Yeah.
The announcement of Richards was disguised as an announcement of two hosts who would share responsibilities. He would do the daily syndicated show, and actor Mayim Bialik, who had been one of the guest hosts, would do primetime specials and spinoffs. The more accurate description of this arrangement is that Richards is hosting the show, and Bialik is hosting some specials. The job to succeed Trebek on Jeopardy proper, it went to Richards.
Yeah. Richards.
So they messed around with that. I mean, it's been hinky.
Well, also,
he's a hinky guy.
The most accurate is that Mike Richards is the new host of Jeopardy, and Mayim Bialik is standing by for something that doesn't exist yet. Because there never has been specials, and there never have been spinoffs. Unless you count, like, Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
I know. When I read it in print.
Yeah.
When I saw this in print, I said, okay.
It's that's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
That's what we all felt in our gut. Number four, it's dangerous to make it seem like you are doing something you are not doing. When you run a bunch of guest hosts through what you imply are tryouts, and then you pick the boss who oversaw their auditions, it can make it seem like the whole thing was kind of a joke.
Yep.
Again, this has nothing to do with whether he's a good host or not, but from what the article says, what she wrote, from what I've heard from people who followed it more closely than I did, he got a good response, even though some people certainly found him, for lack of a better term, game show hosty.
Isn't this?
Wouldn't you agree that he was, Rob? He was game showy.
Very game showy, very much so, yeah. And that's the one thing that sort of separated Alex, is that he had a sort of amount of class that he brought to the show.
Yeah, like a newsman
almost,
panache.
yeah, exactly.
Over the weekend, I watched an old Alex Trebek episode, and his delivery, his patter was so totally unique. I never thought about it until I was watching all these other people. Mm-hmm. The crispness with which he delivered the answers. He was great at it. And I think you appreciate something when it's gone. And that's what it was. So that's interesting when they talk about this guy. It's dangerous to make it seem like you're doing something you're not doing. That's what that article says.
And make no mistake, they played America by picking people that could be the host from different spheres. For example, Joe Buck doesn't have the same fan base as Mayim Bialik.
No.
So by doing
And Joe Buck did a really nice job,
He did. And I think that, you know, what they did is they tried to pick celebrities that could possibly work from all different spheres.
Yep.
So you bring in, for 2 weeks at a time, a new batch of viewers. We were played. We were absolutely played.
Played.
Yeah, because there was no chance of anyone ever getting
flim-flammed.
Other than
Let
Mike
me
Richards.
Read you the last paragraph, the last section of this article. Number five.
Schnookered.
Number five says, this guy, ? taking for granted that Richards is good at hosting Jeopardy, there's another problem that resurfaced in the last couple of weeks. Two lawsuits. From his time at The Price is Right, in which models suggested that the environment of the show was hostile to them. Richards addressed these issues with a fairly limited, this isn't who I am, and I would never be disrespectful type statement. But looking at this entirely cynically, he's not a star, and they had lots of other options. So why take on all this baggage at a time when so much of television is trying so hard at least to create the impression that it takes this stuff seriously? Time will tell whether this works out or whether anyone cares about any of this in 2 weeks, let alone 2 years. Jeopardy is a show that lives on habit, and habits are hard to break. And that's it. I've learned many times that over the inside baseball stuff about how the sausage is made often makes no difference whatsoever to the viewing decisions of TV viewers. So, and I believe that too.
Yeah, they'll take it.
I think he's going to soldier on, and it's going to be forgotten, and you're not going to talk about this guy. But there's just something about this guy.
Well, because
I don't know what it is.
Because you know what? We knew at the front of it we were being played. Then we got played. Then they told us, hey, we played you. So you feel empty.
He's just too good looking. If they had like a semi-decent Uggo on, we'd all take him or her.
Well, Trebek in the day was Mr. Tom Selleck. You
That's
know
true.
What I mean?
Mustache?
He had the black mustache and all that. What I don't like is there is a smarminess to him. And you know what? Being in broadcasting, we have been eyewitnesses
yes.
to the type of people that do this. And look, Rob and I joke about it all the time.
Right.
The best example would be Larry Michael with the Redskins.
Yeah.
Where
Washington
he
football team.
Where the Washington football team, where he insinuated himself into that world.
It was
like a steamroller. And all of a sudden, one day we woke up and our good friend Frank Herzog was pushed
gone.
To the curb and he was gone.
Yeah.
And Frank Herzog deserved
a
Hall of Fame status because he kept Frank, Sam Huff
yeah.
and Sonny Jurgensen
in line.
In line and sounding semi-coherent for all those years.
But it was, if you watch the way Larry worked, it looked like a planning scene in the war room of a 1940s movie.
100%.
He was so deliberate. He came in and he said, I understand the AM affiliate is covering CFL football. I'll call the CFL games. And he did that. And he built a little base. And then he said, I'll do sideline reporting for the Washington football team. And he yep. comes in and does that. And it was just one step at a time. 4-year plan.
Rob knows a lot more about
yeah,
this
do.
Than I do.
Yeah, and meanwhile,
like,
you know,
how dare he?
Frank Herzog's at home blowing on his soup. I mean, this is what's going on. And he was just a climber. And it was so obvious.
I don't begrudge the hard work. I begrudge the sneakiness.
And there was a lot of that.
I agree with you. Yeah. I think that if you hustle and you put yourself into a situation like that, there's something about. I also think that this franchise that was so bolstered by Alex Trebek and
I thought you were still talking about the football team.
No, I'm talking about Larry being
yeah.
smart. We all
yeah,
know
yeah, that's true.
But this guy, it just feels too fixed. It feels too easy, and it feels like we didn't have much of a say as fans of the show where this guy comes in. The only reason you bring a total unknown in, which is basically what
this
guy is,
yeah.
is because he wows you,
mm.
because he was the man, or you just dispense with the dog and pony show of the guest host. Everything about this has been disingenuous.
Well, it's
just
been
like
unfair.
The article said. I agree with Linda Holmes at NPR. Good
it's
job, Linda.
Unfair to the viewing public because they use almost the entire summer to drum up ratings in a false way. And
right.
then they bring him in. And I don't like the fact that he, as a producer, was probably behind the dog and pony show because he saw a way to keep the
we'll
show in the media.
We'll never know.
We'll never know. But
right.
I am pissed because he, in the back of his head, knows that as long as Jeopardy as a game remains and
right.
they can tether it to Wheel of Fortune, no one can kill it. So let me
do it. And this is now completely alleged, but a dream scenario for me. I want a letter to surface from the late Alex Trebek that says, hey, whatever you do, don't put that haircut in my spot.
Wouldn't that be great?
But Alex Trebek knew that he was on the way out.
Yeah.
And Alex Trebek was very clear that he didn't want anything to do with the selection process. I wish he'd owned that a little bit. I would have loved to have him.
Rumor has it, he wouldn't ever go on the record, but he wanted Jenny McCarthy.
Robin jerk. How dare you?
Hey, speaking of that,
yeah.
I have a question about, since we're on the subject of game shows.
Yeah.
And I've been watching the old episodes of Jeopardy, and I've been watching old, you know, Pat Sajak will probably do it till he's 90. God
yeah.
bless him. I think now that out in Hollywood, that the game show hosting gig is perhaps a little more cherished than it's ever been. Back in the day, it was old DJs, LA DJs that
all
got the
them.
Gigs.
All of them.
Are you aware of the very talented Elizabeth Banks is now the host of Press Your Luck?
Yes, and, she's very good.
She's
very
phenomenal
good.
At it.
Yes.
She's great, but I also feel like she's overqualified to be a game show. She's a marvelous actress. I love her
I
work.
Had the
she's
same
great.
Feeling. I came home the other day and Carrie was watching 25 Words or Less, hosted by Meredith Vieira. And I think Meredith Vieira is a marvelous broadcaster too.
Right.
And you know what? I liked her in Millionaire because that was sort of a that was sort of a billboarded, very lauded game show.
Right.
I think she's overqualified for a little Channel 50 game
show. Well, she's more, I mean, but, Meredith Vieira comes from a strong journalist background.
But I think she likes doing it. And that might be the reason. I think some of the hosts that go in there and seem overqualified are doing it because they like doing
it. It's a paycheck.
But a fun
just
one,
like
too.
Just like we'd go on to, maybe not Mike, but if you want me to open a T-Mobile store and you want to pay me $500 for an hour of my time, yes, I'll be there.
Sure.
I will be there.
Hello.
Are you aware that there is someone from our past who is now hosting a game show? Are you aware of a name that has resurfaced once again? Seems to always be in the wings there. Our friend or former friend, Leah Remini.
What is she hosting?
A game show called People Puzzle. That's,
do you have to determine which is the Scientologist?
People Puzzler. People Puzzler.
Oh, People Puzzler. Yeah. How does it work?
Well, it's I don't really know. I looked at it last night and had to turn it off.
It didn't do it.
Because I thought I was confused as to whether it was Leah Remini or that Canadian cooking lady that that's kind of pretty.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, she's on the Food Network.
Nadia?
Yes, yes.
Right? Yeah.
I think so.
Mike, I don't know. Mike, it says here, People Puzzler is a 30-minute syndicated game show seen in most major markets where contestants have to ruin a radio show.
The contestants put their pop culture knowledge to the test to complete crosswords based on the iconic puzzles in People magazine. There you go. And then there's another guy.
Oh boy.
That's hosting, I don't even know the name of his show, but the guy from is it Joey Fatone? Is that
the new kid on the block
or the Backstreet Boy or whatever the hell
Fatone
was?
Fatone was a new kid on the block.
New kid on the block. He's hosting. So I think it's the thing now to get those gigs.
It sounds like a fun gig.
But Oscar, how much do you think? How much are they peeling off to pay Elizabeth Banks to host Press Your Luck? Because I'll tell you, Elizabeth Banks
probably has some ownership rights. And be like, if you can make this a big deal, the back end is fantastic.
Game shows are the cheapest thing to produce on television,
too. But if you started in three Bella movies... Pitch Perfect for those of you not in the
understood.
Know.
Yeah,
if
you star in three of those and you have your own production company, someone says, "Hey, if you're not busy for 3 weeks, we can tape 37 episodes, and if this works, you'll get a big there's a big upside on the back end. Why not give it a swing?
Yeah,
Fatone, I don't think gets that deal. He needs to pay the mortgage.
I bet Baldwin is doing very well with the Match Game. I bet they pay him quite a bit for that.
You would have been a great host, Mike. Rob, not so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I couldn't. I'm too fat. I've been too fat for most of my career. So I'm too fat to do anything.
You would have been a great host in the 40s.
No, I would have been? You know who I would have been? I would have been a Johnny Gilbert.
The announcer.
Yes.
Because I would have, and by that time, I would have been so intellectually challenged. And when I say challenged, I would not have been stimulated that by the time, you know, you would have had me coming, this is Jeopardy. Because I'd be so bored. I'd be bored out of my mind.
So you know? Mike would be the announcer?
I look at Vanna White and Pat Sajak, who are...
Somnambulistic?
Well, Vanna, my God, she's been doing it for 80 years.
She has.
And she's just up there going, and she still does that robot walk over to the wall. I know the money's good, but it's just, I think, also, no matter what the money is, you can't come in. Listen, the thing that keeps us going with this is the fact that we can come in and we never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but
we don't know. Later in the show, we didn't know that there was going to be a massive SWAT team raid on the house that Oscar lived in. We'll be talking about that later.
Of course.
That's brand new.
Yeah.
That's we get to talk about it. You know why we get to talk about it? Because it happened. Do you think if we were turning letters, we'd be couldn't do that.
She doesn't turn them. Remember, she used to have a purpose. Now she just points at them.
She just points
at
them.
We all have a price.
Right.
Right.
We've all been in situations like, well, I can't give this up and done it to our detriment.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, the greatest hosting gig in modern television went to the right guy. And I gave his radio show thumbs down. Steve Harvey.
Yes.
Comes from the land of stand-up and then the land of DJ-dom. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that as far as being able to bring comedy to a game show, Steve Harvey is the absolute perfect choice. There is no finer man for a job in broadcasting than Steve Harvey hosting Family Feud. He is perfect for it. He's flawless for it.
Yes.
He's better than the original Richard Dawson.
And there's been a lot of good hosts through that, but I'll tell you why. He's one of the bravest men on TV, and this is why. And it comes from stand-up. Not being afraid to not talk.
Absolutely.
He will let it hang forever.
And he's the right guy.
Dude.
Yeah,
I remember, and I'll tell you just a quick anecdote. I don't know if I ever shared this with you guys.
Oh, here's an exclusive.
We had when we were in business school, you have former business school students visit and just say hello and see, you follow their career path of where they were.
Right.
One of in a cohort prior to mine, which is cohort 15, one of Steve Harvey's assistants was at the Smith School of Business, former assistants.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Harvey at one point sat her down and said, what do you want to do? Like, what are your dreams? You do a fantastic job here, but what do you want to do? And she said she wanted to start a line of hair extensions for, a professional businesswoman.
Right.
Steve Harvey, within a month's time, had to put a business plan together, connected her with his business manager. They invested $50,000 and then she paid her own way to business school, helped her with that. And then she started her own line of hair extensions.
Wow.
Good man.
Yeah.
Good man. You never heard about it.
No.
Really good guy. That's wonderful. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And the guy's got talent.
Yes. Yeah.
Real, real talent. So that's another thing. Look, you don't need the shtick to be funny on Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. But you do need a certain something, especially with an iconic franchise like that. And I, as a partial fan, not a diehard fan. I don't watch every episode. I certainly got into it when that guy went on the run. There's another guy going on a run right now. I do believe that we got screwed.
Yeah.
We got screwed by a manipulative, overzealous, climber who wanted the gig at all costs. And I think that sucks. I would have loved to have someone else. That's all. I mean, it just
would have been worse timing with the pandemic and also the supply chain issues that we have in Chick-fil-A, by the way, the latest victim of supply chain issues. They don't have enough sauces.
Oh, God.
Really? Oh, my God.
How are they doing with tea?
It's tough, man. It's
tough. Hey, I made my own today. Made my Tazo.
Good.
Two bags. Yeah. I did my Tazo with two bags of the chai. Put my stevia in it myself.
Mike's bags.
And a little splash of soy. And I'm looking for other chai options. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, just put a splash of soy on your bags and you're good to go.
Also, let's be honest. LeVar Burton, everybody wanted the guy until he came in and it was just like,
He could have taken it.
He was a wreck, unfortunately. Let's be honest. He was. He was nervous when he came in. So that's it.
We were played. It was over before it began.
We were played. So now we can, we'll watch and see how the guy does.
And we'll wait for the dead body.
Look, I'm probably going to forget. Like, now I care about it.
But I was just thinking.
I'm waiting for them to find a dead body in one of his, used cars in his lot.
Oh, like somebody that's, on the, a junior vice president Sony Pictures. Yeah.
Mike.
He threw down a well.
What if it goes really far?
Stairs like in Showgirls.
What if it goes really far back and they go into his bungalow and there's a decomposing Merv Griffin?
Hey, that'd be fun. Look at that. What's that smell? Hey, you're on.
Ooh.
You're on in 10 minutes, Mike Richards. Thank you. There I go.
Ooh.
Hey, we'll take a break, come back with the homepage, and then later on, I teased it a little bit. Yeah, major SWAT team operation.
Yes.
At a home that once had Mr. Oscar Santana put his head on the pillow.
Mm.
We'll be right back.
To pee or not to pee. Oh, hey, how you doing? The name's John. I'm a talking head. Head as in a turlet.
Turlet.
A boat. Yeah, it's kind of the key to the whole bit here. Well, a lot of people say I'm full of you know what I'm talking about, but today I'm flush with pride to be asked to share how you can be a TMOS talking head.
It's a talking
head. It's your
toilet.
Chance to appear on the Michael Maris show and tell your life story.
Right.
Which for me starts with a very hot date with a kiln.
Yeah.
Anyway, all
the
you
seed
gotta
is
do
a
is
mouth.
Send an email to Rob with 2 B's at MichaelMarisShow.com and give him the bottom line about what makes you tick. And if it's overflowing with interesting stuff, you're in. So before you pee, write to ROBB at MichaelMarisShow.com. Just don't clog up his inbox. I gotta go. Here comes another asshole.
Flushing toilet.
That's right.
From toilet.
From Flushing, New York.
Hey, let me ask you a question, people. When was the last time you refinanced? If it's been more than a year, we should talk about how much money you could be saving, people.
Guess what? The SPIWACs have begun the process.
Another one?
Another one.
Oh, good for you.
Yes, with Cornerstone.
What company would you be using?
Cornerstone First Financial.
The stalled economy and the Delta variant have pushed interest rates back to the lowest levels in a year. Add in double-digit appreciation, and it's the perfect storm to take cash out or simply refinance to a lower rate or term. You need to call the only company that I recommend, that Rob recommends, that Oscar recommends. Oscar was the first one to use
it. Yes.
My friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. Cornerstone First is a direct lender, which means they have their own money, and they guarantee to meet or beat any competitor. At the end of the day, you go with the company you like and you trust, and the one that offers benefits, savings, and solutions. Cornerstone is that company. Send them a recent mortgage statement and instantly see how much money they can save you. Loan officers are working overtime to accommodate what is likely the last opportunity to take advantage of the lowest rates ever. Call your local licensed and ethical loan officer now at Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com, and do it now. Please do it now.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
Yes, it is. All right, here is another example of celebrities being kind of mean to their own families. I always find this fascinating. Yeah, this is Daniel Craig, James Bond. You know him, you love him.
Sure.
He is worth a reported $160 million.
And not bad to look at.
Get in line.
Especially when he's coming out of the waves.
Oh, yeah. Baby.
Or strapped to a chair, topless and bottomless.
That one. Oh, Oscar, that now you made me brutal. Think about that scene. Oh, God! God!
Someone had to tie the knot. Like
yeah, there you go. Okay.
Let's think about Knives Out instead.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So, his net worth, 160 mil, which means when he dies, his kids get nothing.
Oh!
Good for him.
Because he doesn't believe in inheritances.
Good.
He says, quote, "I don't want to leave a great sums to the next generation. I think inheritance is quite distasteful. My philosophy is get rid of it or give it away before you go."
Or he could have been the Knives Out. He could have said, "My idea is to give it away."
Isn't there an old adage that if you die a rich person, you failed?
I'm dying for the sequel to that. I can't wait to see him again.
Craig and his wife, Rachel Weisz. That was a good call on your part, too. I like that movie.
Yeah.
They have a daughter together who will be 3 next month. So she at least has time, right, for them to change their minds.
Well, they've already made her go to work.
Daniel also has a 29-year-old daughter from a previous relationship. She's screwed.
Yeah. Is her name Bitter Craig?
Yeah.
This is my daughter, Bitter.
Oh, excuse me. And Rachel has a 15-year-old son with her ex, Darren Aronofsky, and he, you know, that kid's probably screwed too.
Yeah, his name is Scorn.
Scorn.
Scorn so. Craig.
So much for that, for all you Daniel Craig fans out there. Tim Tebow, once again, not a professional athlete. He got his cutting papers from the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday after appearing in one preseason game against Cleveland. He said, quote, "Thank you to the Jaguars organization and everyone who has supported me in this journey. And we know that God works all things together for good." Romans 8:28. He's a very religious guy, Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Coach Urban Meyer said, quote, "It's tough. We knew that it was an uphill battle for Tim. Players loved him. The locker room loved him. But it was the right thing." He said they had to let Tim go because he couldn't get...
What's
I'm
that?
Sorry. I was really trying to read this. He couldn't get the hang of tackling. He's a big dude, too.
I don't know how to
well,
do it.
Well, the place that you know, we're all over the interweb. Yeah. Really didn't make him look good at all. There was no redeeming factors.
Well, he was going out for the team as a tight end,
yes.
So you would think tackling doesn't matter.
Or even
blocking.
Does,
because special teams, they need him on special teams.
Sounds like he could really be on special teams, if you know what I mean.
if he would have been on the anyway, he couldn't do it. He would be required to help on special teams, and he needs to be able to tackle. Meyer coached Tebow at the University of Florida. Tim is 34, and it's hard to believe any other team will pick him up. So we'll have to wait. By the way, I didn't mention this for my fellow Giants fans out there, but I took a little peek of the replay on the NFL Network of the Giants-Jets, and hey, Giants, looking really good.
Another good year for them, you think?
Oh, my God.
It's sad, Mike. Sad.
Sad.
You know,
sad.
I realize they're evaluating the bottom of their roster, so I'm going to take solace in that fact. But, well, it's on to Cleveland this week with joint practices, and we'll see what happens. But I'm a skeered. Do the people in your household settle into the exact same spots when you're at the kitchen table watching TV or just lounging around? They do in my house all the time.
Yes, sir.
In a new survey, two-thirds of Americans say they do have unofficial assigned seating in their homes. We do forever.
Of course.
You know, I've worn a hole in my recliner.
The worst thing any, especially ex-girlfriend or loved one in my life could ever do is come over to the old Fantana house in O-Town and sit in my mother's chair during any type of meal.
Oh, not okay.
It's her special place, God. Right?
Mm-hmm. She would tell you to get that.
Those are my farts.
She would tell you to get the F up. Get
would
up.
She?
Yeah, and I've seen them. I've seen her do it to ex-girlfriends. Yeah. Move.
Mm-hmm. I know my kids, when they lived at home, they knew that if it was time to watch TV, stay out of dad's hospital bed and don't adjust it.
Hey, Rob got so lucky. He got a great deal.
I did.
You got a great deal.
Found it on Craigslist.
Yeah, hold on. Somebody was taping a special across the hallway. Come on in. What's going on? What?
Hey, buddy.
There he is.
You got to come right in there. You gotta come right in.
It's like, I'm
doing the news. What's going on?
Nothing. I just thought you
called into the microphone, please.
I just thought you called me.
No, I didn't. I'm gonna kiss you on the cheek. We're kissing on the cheek now, right?
Yay!
That's a good color for him. He looks good in blue like his old man.
Much more age appropriate.
In a new survey, two-thirds of Americans said they do have unofficial assigned seating. A lot of that is probably just routine, but 63% say they actually associate positive memories with particular areas or pieces of food. No, it's just habit. It's comfort.
Habit. Mm-hmm.
It's what you like to sit down or like. Carla sits in her spot on the couch. I sit on my recliner. And, you know, Winslow, well, yeah, depending on how he's behaving, stays in the crate or not. It depends.
Carrie stays in her place until I hit the nurse call button.
On your hospital
bill. I said, I need ice chips.
How did you get it for the price you got it for, though? Amazing.
Mike, you just got to keep your nose to the ground. You got to find it. Yeah.
The guy had only been
dead a few weeks.
That's right. The Girl Scouts. The Girl Scouts are adding a new cookie.
Oh, okay. I'll take this.
I bet it sucks.
Well, this sounds like a Disney word. All right.
All right.
You know what the name of the cookie is? Rob, you'll hate this more than anybody on the show today.
Go ahead. Thank you.
The new cookie is called Adventurefuls.
Oh, God.
No, thank you.
And you know it's going to be a cookie, too. Listen to this. They're a brownie-inspired treat featuring a caramel-flavored cream center.
No!
Caramel-flavored.
No, caramel-flavored cream is non-existent. Cream and caramel are two different flavor profiles.
Thank you. I knew you wouldn't argue. A drizzle of chocolate sauce and a touch of sea salt.
Keep them away from the rolling table that goes over my bed when I'm watching TV.
Rob's hospital bed.
It's right in the middle of the living room, Oscar.
You should create a new podcast just with you called Rob's Hospital Bed.
Here I am. I'm in my hospital bed. Hospital bed.
They'll be available in January when the Girl Scouts begin selling for next year. That's 145 days for all you people that can't hold out.
They'll be stale.
According to that, they have a countdown clock for it, too. Isn't that sweet? You can sign up on their website. Of course, all the classic cookies will be back along with this year's edition. I guess is popular. Do you remember the name of it?
This year's.
Was it the anal fissure?
Toastiers. I have no idea what those are.
You know what? I have mentally blocked it, but I guarantee you it was in the news.
I guarantee you
we covered it.
Damn it.
Yeah. Toastiers. I don't know what Toastiers are.
Sounds like it's in Pig Latin or something.
We all know Bob Ross, and this is the, you know, I had something for Rob. Now I got something that Oscar will be all okay. over. Bob Ross, the painting guy,
yes,
the joy
of
painting
sure.
guy
Happy
with a
trees.
Soothing voice and comforting afro. You're going to be, you will be probably, as soon as it's available, you'll be on this.
Bring it.
Apparently, there's some kind of dirty secret behind the scenes that we didn't know about.
Oh, no.
And it will be revealed in the new Netflix documentary, Bob Ross, Happy Accidents, Betrayal, and Ooh. Greed.
Let's decide. Maybe there's a happy tree, evergreen tree. He lives right there. Start with just touching the canvas.
Oh,
there you go.
Use just the corner of the brush. Just yeah. the corner.
Just the corner. Just
Please
the tip.
Please tell me he was verbally abusive to his staff.
I don't
I
know.
I can't wait. Because this everybody I know that's super successful outside of like, let's say, how about 95% of the people that I know are super successful. People yeah. hate. They hate. Because you can't just be nice all the time.
Not Netflix, and succeed, yeah.
Netflix released a 20-second clip yesterday that says, quote, "We want to show you the trailer for Bob Ross' Happy Accidents, Betrayal, and Greed, but we can't." That's the trailer
wow.
for it. I haven't seen it. Then an unidentified voice says, quote, "I've been waiting to get this story out for all these years."
Yeah.
Oh,
he
wow.
didn't paint his own paintings. He probably just like did the framework and then...
Who knows?
Maybe the unidentified voice was
wait.
Jeopardy producer Mike Richards.
The movie hits Netflix a week from today, Oscar.
I'm in, Mike. I'm in.
Bob died, unfortunately, of lymphoma in 95. He was only 52 years old, so we'll all have to wait and see
I
what's happening with that.
I had a vivid dream not two nights ago.
Sex dream?
No, you know, those with long gone. That I was painting.
Like a portrait or like a...
Like I was painting in a big art studio. Isn't
like,
that
like on
weird?
A canvas?
Yes.
Wow. I can't wait for this show. I'm going to lower my feet so I can see the whole screen.
From your hospital
From my
bed.
Hospital bed.
There you go. And now a little something something. A truck carrying Jack Daniels bottles crashed in East Columbus early Tuesday morning.
Oh, no.
Scary.
Temporarily backing up traffic on a portion of Interstate 70. The crash happened just after 2 a.m. A spokesman with the Ohio Department of Transportation later confirmed the bottles were empty.
Oh.
At the time of the crash, the east side ramp from I-70 West to I-270 South briefly closed, but has since reopened. ODOT, that's I guess the Ohio Department of Transportation, has asked drivers to avoid the area while crews continue to clear the scene. The driver of the truck was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. He told police, "I guess as far as my driving skills are concerned, it's back to the driving board." Peterman, I drank all the whiskey. There you are.
Where?
Uncle Peter and Pearl, I'm a truck driver.
Where's the rest of this moose?
Yes. Well, I guess you never run out of ice your whole life. We have to take a break, and we will come back with the Oscar SWAT team story right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, fans, coming to you live. It's the O'Mara Wrestling Federation in our main event match. The Bolivian Butcher squares off against his most dominant opponent to date. In the steel cage, it's Oscar Santana versus the English language.
I might have clarified this in the past, but you said manila envelope? I thought they were vanilla envelopes.
You are so stupid.
Seriously, you thought it was vanilla
yeah,
envelopes?
Yeah, because I'm like vanilla cups.
English may be his second language, but he's going to need first aid after that beatdown.
And with my brother, myself.
You don't need to say myself.
The hell you
because you went
say?
From an object to a subject.
Oh.
Santana sure took a beating here tonight, but don't miss his commentary and opinions. It's no holds barred on Oscar's take. Tune in next week and see the brawl for it all. The one man mob. Rob Spiewak takes on diabetes in a winner takes foot match. Don't miss it, brother.
From his hospital bed, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll be in my hospital bed, of course.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. When it comes to losing weight, there's a lot of pressure to label foods good or bad. But that just creates dilemmas. Noom, we've told you about it. It's here to change how we see food with a psychology-based approach that looks not only at what you eat, but also how you eat. Instead of making you feel guilt or regret, Noom empowers you to keep going. Everybody's journey is different, so Noom customizes a program for you based on your personal goals. I love that no food is totally off limits. If you have an off day, relax. Noom gently helps you get back on track. Noom only asks for 10 minutes of your day to teach you about your eating habits. A lot of people don't remember that when I tell them. Yes, that's it. I'm not making this up. It's 10 minutes a day.
Tam.
They want to check in on your progress. If you doubt me, more than 80% of users complete the program. More than 60% of users lose 5% or more of body weight, and 60% of them keep the weight off for a year or more.
Does help.
One size does not fit all. Choose your goals and Noom will personalize a weight loss program to you. Oscar loves it. Carla loves it. She's never looked better. There's a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS. So I have a business meeting this morning. And I am literally driving into the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And as I'm driving into the parking lot, the phone, ding, ding, and it's Oscar.
Yes.
Who is, well, let me share what he wrote.
Yeah, please.
It was kind of, my, I don't know why similar. It made me laugh.
I was on the elevator coming up to Podcast Village when my phone goes, and I have to check it out. Yeah, I have to check it out.
It was interesting.
And I look, part of, just give you my routine, if it as of late at least, because I feel like... You all actually respond and enjoy when I share some content with you.
Love it.
Even though I have to be specific and ask Rob to pretty please pull this audio so we can play it on the show. There are certain.
Oh, you
clips,
wanted the audio for today?
Yes. Oh. There are certain clips that I think will resonate with the guys, and I will share them when I can.
No, I would have pulled this anyway. I appreciate the push in the right direction. But also, there's two layers to this story. But Mike, go ahead, please.
So Oscar puts out a TikTok clip, and then
internet.
Underneath it, he captioned it. This is the house I lived in when I was at WVU. Where Rob just was dropping his son off.
Today is the first day of classes, so this is very well timed, Oscar. As I said, thanks for the pick me up.
Then he writes, "What are the odds? TikTok, internet, and I'm late for my meeting because I'm watching it like 9 times. Yeah. I'm watching what appears to be a SWAT team outside of the house that you lived
that
in when you were at WVU.
Lived in when I was at WVU.
Now, question: I couldn't quite place it. It's a small town.
Yes.
So is this possibly shot from the towers?
No.
It's not in that part.
Everything is a hill in Morgantown.
Yeah, it is very hilly.
So
yeah.
It's just the street up.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't like that close to what was going
got
down.
It,
yeah. Okay.
And this is we'll play you the audio now from the police, and there are SWAT
it's
and local
US
police
Marshals.
Outside.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something: these marshals or Morgantown police officers have a bullhorn. The likes of it sounds like the PA at a concert.
Mike,
it's
almost as if the Morgantown police has been dealing with bad people their entire life.
All right,
because,
let's listen.
Yeah, here we go. Here's Morgantown.
This is the Morgantown Police Department. Clyde Littlefield, we have you surrounded. Come out with your hands in the air.
All right, stop it and play it from the start again.
All right.
Clyde Littlefield.
Yeah.
Does that not sound? Does that not sound like seriously, John Dillinger and Bonnie and Clyde are going to be picking him up in their Model T in a few minutes?
A couple of notes.
Yeah. Oh,
the
please.
House I lived in, the rent checks went to Mrs. Hatfield, who lived in the house next door.
Of course.
That's why I wrote you, well, where's Mrs. McCoy live?
But, in those college towns, people, if you own a property, you can live off it. Because there's going to be new people coming in every year.
She owned various properties. I remember that.
And the other thing I want to call your attention to as I listen to this tape quite a bit is not just the bullhorn and the incessant train for some reason. But
the train that's annoying me because it's like, hey, they're trying to get the guy out of there. Stop with your whistles.
But
you know
also the running commentary for the meatheads that are taking the video. And I think at one point they say, Littlefield, look him up.
All right. I'll shut up and let's play the entire tape that we have. And then I've got 1,000 questions.
Okay, very good. Here we go. From the top.
This is the Morgantown Police Department. Clyde Littlefield, we have you surrounded. Come out with your hands in the air.
Shay.
What did I do?
This is the United States Marshals and the Morgantown Police Department. Clyde Littlefield, we have you surrounded. Come out with your hands in the air. Mm.
Train.
They got Clyde. Someone look him up. Clyde Littlefield. they got him, though.
That's another student.
Yeah.
I was going to say, they said U.S. Marshals.
They're unfazed.
They're getting.
There it is.
Huh? Back the blue.
Classy town. Here we go.
If there are any other occupants in 63 Jones Avenue, apartment B, exit with your hands on top of your head. This is the United States Marshals and the Morgantown Police Department.
Bro.
There we go.
And was that them sending in a grenade or something?
Flash.
I was gonna say, I looked away. This is insane.
Well, I did some digging.
Hey, he's pushing. He's pushing.
That's it, right? Yeah, pretty much.
They have all the cameras,
right?
Then they have the actual breach of the home,
and they get them.
Yeah, they get.
They walk Littlefield away.
So the quick takeaways were. When I'm swiping through, I'm not looking for Morgantown videos. It's just what's trending.
Yeah, it literally is trending.
And it popped up, and I said, is that my porch? From 15 years ago, almost 20 years ago, whatever it may be.
Unbelievable.
And you can't zoom in on these videos, so I'm like, ugh. And then I played it again, and I said, I used to live in the basement.
Oh, God.
I know the layout.
I literally asked you that because they brought the guy out of the basement.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was an entrance and exit in the basement.
Yeah. I have the story. Law enforcement officials in West Virginia have arrested a man wanted in connection with a July homicide at a Franklinton bar. Mm. Clyde Thomas Littlefield, 21 years old, was arrested by West Virginia law enforcement Tuesday evening in Morgantown. Littlefield is accused of shooting and killing 29-year-old Edward Hunter on July 1st. At a bar in the 900 block of Sullivan Avenue. So he was a bad guy.
Yeah.
And, hey, look, for me, you know, sometimes those neck tattoos are a dead giveaway. They really are. I'm looking at his mugshot right now. Little guy.
I had a follow-up that I shared with Rob and the team. I said, this just proves that Morgantown is still the wild, wild west.
Yes.
As the kids, students, we're not fazed by this at all.
No, they're enjoying it. Like, it's a show that they've rolled out. And I want to say good luck to my son on the first day of classes.
So you had said the town's shady.
Yes.
What do you mean
by
that?
I said the town is shady. The town is shady, and
Isn't it kind of like the way Atlantic City used to be, that if you were within 18 feet of a casino, you're fine?
I feel like, much like what Rob is saying, that there are certain rules in Morgantown that only apply to Morgantown, West Virginia. And those the same rules that apply to a place like New Orleans, where there's just this unspoken vibe of like certain things can go on as long as they're within the city limits of Morgantown, West Virginia.
Was that a sketchy neighborhood that you were in?
No, it's legit 3-minute walk to a campus building.
But it is off campus. But it is off campus.
Yeah, but it's like if your office from here was off campus. It's so close.
Okay,
it's basically on campus.
But so it was hard to tell. It didn't look like it was that bad a neighborhood when
I
looked at
it. No, it's a very nice neighborhood. Very nice neighborhood.
Beautiful.
But you had commented that you think that they busted up the house into apartments when after you were
correct, gone. And you would probably do that. The building was the house was huge, so you would have broken it up into apartments. Somebody would have bought it and done something like that.
Right.
Okay.
For me, that bullhorn would have been heard in a classroom. That's how close it was to campus.
Any fond memories of that residence
absolutely.
That you could share with us?
There were three girls from New Jersey. Like we had a great time.
It I remember that.
The house was a
lot
nicer.
Did you live with the CNN girl there?
No, that was in Arizona.
Oh, that was in Arizona.
So,
hello, CNN girl.
Why did you always have like pretty girls as roommates? Were they pretty? The girls that you
yes,
lived with?
They were very pretty.
Were you the only guy
yes,
there?
Yes,
were you pretty?
Yes. I was better looking then.
Yes.
I sent a private message to my college roommate from one of them from when we were in Morgantown together, and she said her first response is like, "Ew, look at the siding," because she was concerned with how dirty the siding.
Oh, the way the house looked.
Because when we were there,
nicer.
It was beautiful. Yeah. It was
nicer
really
when you were there.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Of your three roommates, as I continue to to ask,
to prod,
were you closer to certain roommates than you were to others?
Roommates loved me because they would date all my friends. I never hooked up with any of my roommates. But
I hooked up with
my roommate's friends.
Oh, that's was good. Nice.
That's
was
good.
It a party house?
Of
so
course.
Close to campus?
These
was
girls
it a party
were
house?
Planners. They had parties at our house where the, and the, you know, statute of limitations, where they had party gifts of like, here's your free, like they would buy things to give away to guests. It was like, it was something out of the Real Housewives of New Jersey, but we lived in Morgantown.
And it was wild. And so it was just the three girls and you?
In the basement.
Yeah. In the basement.
I would take out the trash.
To be fair, Mike, the parting gifts for the WVU students, largely floss and toothpaste.
So you had three girl roommates. Yes. Was it a whole semester or two semesters?
Two years. 4 semesters.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And they bought furniture for the house and everything. It was wonderful.
Were they women of means?
Yes. Their parents would come down and they would give me money for taking care of their kids because I would always like drive them home from the bars and make sure they got home safe.
Was their dad in
having sisters?
Was their dad in waste management?
Hey, Oscar, I want to thank you for
one of my roommates' fathers owned a construction.
Meadow, tell Oscar thanks for bringing you home from the bar.
A construction company that was based in Manhattan. I remember that.
Oh my!
Wow!
And when we went to her wedding because she got married very young. It was at St. Patrick's, right?
Cathedral?
Yes. It was
in
gorgeous.
New York City?
Yes.
On Fifth?
We had no business being there being so young. I was 27. Wow. It was crazy.
Oh, my God. Wow. It sounds like you had sunny days there.
Yeah.
2 years.
Sunnier days. Yes.
So you saw that house and immediately wrecked it. Did it look a little run down from when you were there?
You romanticize what was in the past.
Yeah.
So even if I slice that in 50% and remember, okay, was that house that? It was just brighter. There was flowers out on the porch.
Yeah,
and they had the house power wash.
Yeah, and there was no murderer in the basement. Yeah, it was just a better time.
Just Oscar in the basement.
That's right.
Just me.
I lived on Cromwell Drive in Bethesda, Maryland, when I was going to American University. I too got the basement. Correct me if I'm wrong. The basement room usually has its own bathroom.
Oh,
correct.
Yeah. Correct.
Has its own bathroom. It was the the nervous night sleeping on
nobody
my little bed I had down
the
there.
Yeah, nobody wanted
I lived
to live
in the basement
there.
The night before my very first commercial gig in Washington.
Oh,
and I
wow.
couldn't sleep. I remember that room. That's the room I slept in. But I mean, you had your own entrance and you
I
didn't have to deal with
setup.
Anybody.
They didn't care what I did down there. If they didn't like
I
my
had
posters.
Nothing to do
or
with them most of the time. Yeah. You know, I really didn't do it.
I would pull the hair out of the girls' drain in the bathroom upstairs. I would do that for them because they didn't know how to, they were. It would create a plumbing issue, you know?
Right. When they were waiting, like, naked to get in the shower, did you do that?
With the towel?
No, it was usually a post-it note that'd be like, hey, when you have a chance, please do this because we're going to get fined otherwise. Yeah. I was like, all right.
And was your rent cheap?
Yeah. Well, my rent was cheap, and they would pay for groceries and make dinners. It was amazing.
Wow.
Fond memories.
It was like a little family.
Now, your digs, where you slept,
yes.
A murderer slept. Yeah.
That's actually scary. I was hoping it was like some sort of meth dealer or some marijuana conglomerate.
No. Real bad guy.
Yeah,
I lived by myself on a house on Parkwood Avenue in Richmond, and I always loved when wintertime rolled around because there weren't as many gunshots.
Did you take some furniture back to your house from those days?
I don't have anything. I left everything behind. There was a lot of secondhand stuff, and we just left it
except
there.
For your bed, right? Your special
bed. The hospital bed, of course, yes.
Okay, that's where I was
and
going,
Mike, that
idiot.
was
you
some
damn year, dummy.
That was some years ago,
you
got to
hone your skills a little more.
Mike,
come on.
Keep in mind, well, you see, you confuse me. This was a long time ago. That
I
was
understand.
The hospital bed that had the crank.
Okay, we have to take a break. We'll come back with more.
It was older.
More fun and more thrills.
It was made of brass.
Still funny. And glad everybody's okay.
Safety first.
Even though we had nothing to do with it. We'll take a break and come back with more fun right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. Hospital bed equals funny.
No, I didn't come here to preach to you today. You're not a man, you're a bishop, for God's sake.
There is no God.
I guess I'd have to say Jesus. Who better than Christ?
Praise be to He.
We're crucifying someone tonight?
Daddy, you just threw Jesus across the room.
If loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right.
I was in the sky with Jesus. Isn't that special?
Brothers and sisters, it's the Reverend Twitch here preaching the truth. The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show is your salvation of laughs. An extra uncensored show that delivers heavenly hilarity each and every week. Get a bonus show subscription at MikeO'MaraShow.com and always remember,
how you can give your heart to Jesus, but your ass belongs to Mike O'Mara.
That's our Lee Ermey. Thank you very much, Twitch. Hey, we all know this school year is going to be different.
It is.
I love it when I get copy that was written before my life changed.
No, not really.
You might be schooling from home like us, and as parents, it can be time-consuming to give your kids the extra help they might need. So here is a bit of help if you are as frustrated as I certainly have been at the beginning of this school year. KiwiCo. Yes. Remember that name. KiwiCo can deliver a science fair project or an art class right to your door. Hands-on education you're going to love. Cultivate your child's natural creativity and curiosity with new hands-on projects every month. They'll explore new worlds and rediscover familiar ones without leaving home. Michael loved building his own kaleidoscope. Everything from sailing the solar system, Michael loved his sun, earth, and moon lantern, to engineering a drip irrigation system. Do your part to encourage your children to be innovators and creative thinkers. There's no commitment, so you can pause or cancel anytime. And the best part, watching their confidence grow as big as their smile. KiwiCo is redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get your first month free on select crates at KiwiCo.com/TMOS. That's KiwiCo.com/TMOS. And we thank you. Okay. I don't do many book recommendations because,
You were beaming about this before the show. I got to know.
Man, do I have a page turner. It's fluff. Let me tell you, first of all, it's fluff.
What kind of fluff?
I don't think you're going to get, really book learned by reading this. This is going to be one of them books you pick up, you devour, and you probably forget like I do with some of those fluffy books.
Is it, Mike, one of those summertime page turners?
It's really good stuff. Let me tell you something. It was an honor for us to interview James Patterson, and I would love to get him on the show to talk about his collaboration. He has collaborated with Bill Clinton. This is their second book.
They've been talking about this for a long time.
This is their second book. This book is called The President's Daughter, and it absolutely rocks. Now, I don't know if I'm speaking out of school when I say it's a guy's book, but I'm reading it like it's a guy's book. I could see this book becoming a major motion picture. It is so good. It is so fast moving. It is so filled with presidential insight into how the behind the scenes protective stuff works. And I am just enthralled by, and it's got a lot of twists and turns, and I think it's just fantastic. I am halfway through it, and it's a big book. I'm 300 and some odd pages into it, just a little more than halfway there. It's a large book, but it is a page turner. It's called The President's Daughter. I don't need to plug this. God knows they got plenty of money. But Bill Clinton, and James Patterson. This book is fantastic. Patterson, Rob, let's get Bill Clinton on the air to talk about it.
Let's do this.
James Patterson is a great author and turns out a very nice man. But I'm curious, do you get
funny
the
guy too?
Yeah, he was extraordinarily funny. Do you get the impression that Clinton's contribution is just more insight and facts, or
I don't know how their process works, but I truly believe that the insights into the way security works and the insights into the way you feel, because it comes from the first person voice of a president, mm-hmm. a former president, and so I believe that probably was Clinton's contribution. But I haven't interviewed him, and I don't know what the mechanism is for putting this book out. It's just
Out to Mr. Patterson, because as I recall, he had a good time with you as well. He was cordial after the fact.
It was fun talking to him. I'd love to hear. And I think this is the one they're hawking right now.
Yeah,
right?
Well,
this is the one they're promoting.
You said it's the second one, right?
I think it's the second collaboration with Bill Clinton.
I think it's a fairly recent release. Yeah,
I think the first one might have been called "The President Is Missing." Let me double check that.
I think you're right.
I think it's called "The President Is Missing."
Right. Yeah.
It's just rare that you get really excited and you get more ramped up the more you get into it.
That's great.
And look, as a guy, aren't we all enamored of, special forces and Secret Service and the way they do their job and what it's all about? And it's so timely
with
everything going on in Afghanistan right now, and with our fears of Al-Qaeda being resurrected over there, with that mess. Oh, and by the way, okay, you ready?
Yeah.
I know it's a cluster F, They screwed up monumentally.
Always,
all right.
Yeah.
They do. Just because he's on my team doesn't mean I can't say they messed up big time. But, you know, but I also believe the country's completely broken and we never got any help from anybody over there. So if you get a chance,
any
pick
behind
it up,
the
I think
scenes stuff about the presidency is fascinating. We do a couple podcasts here that lend some really great at Podville behind the scenes stuff at the White House. One of which is All the Best.
Fascinating.
Which when they talk to people that long form interviews with people that worked hand in glove with George H.W. Bush, and you find out the way things work at the White House, it's sensational. It's a machine that you never see working, but it never stops. It's fascinating.
I had a classmate of mine at American University that they had a criminal justice program at AU, and he went on to be part of a special detail. He was part of the SWAT guys that protected the division of the Secret Service that are the uniform SWAT guy, not the guys you see around, you know, the white shirts around the grounds. Probably those guys you see up on the roofs.
Yeah, those guys
that did that. They're it's pretty amazing what travels. With the president of the United States, it was super fun. I enjoyed it.
Is this something that could be possibly made into a film or a movie?
Sometimes you know when you're reading a book and you go, "Oh my God, I would love to see this on film." This falls into that. And there's so many movies about the president, right? There's so many, but this one, I think, with the collaborative content from Bill Clinton. You got credibility to it. It just lends his name on this gives it a level of credibility.
Could Bill Clinton play himself? Could he play himself?
No.
No. No. Totally different. The presidential characters in this are night and day.
Okay. All right.
Although,
I shouldn't say this.
Say it.
But I will. Well, I don't want to do a spoiler.
Let's wait till we have James on.
But no, I'm not. It's really not a spoiler.
Right there.
The main character is a former president who is a male.
Okay.
And the former president was betrayed by his own vice president, who is a female.
No.
Oh.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but she made my life hell. I don't know. Now I'll never get the interview. But that's the
we
way
had
it
to
goes.
Be funny.
So, yeah. Yes. Yes.
Funny
it's our job. It's our job.
This is what we do.
Funny men. As our funny men.
Did they talk at all about the president's bedroom and his hospital bed?
His hospital bed. That's a recall for the earlier part of the show. No, that's all right. Yeah, crank me up. We got to take a break. When we come back, it's the end of the program, so that means we have to do the digital dumpster right here on the Michael Mara Show.
Did you catch the latest bonus show? If you didn't, here's what you missed.
Now let me give you your forecast. Fred is not dead.
Fictions is a rain, my Lamborghini.
Shut up, Frankie!
Smoke your weed if you're going to do that. That's your thing. I don't care. Drink your beers. Stay away from hard drugs.
How close is the sheets to your house?
About as close as to me being pissed off right now.
Is he intellectually lazy?
Of my two kids, he's a distant fourth.
I'm doing a show!
Don't have a bonus show subscription? Then get one, because it's the only way to get that fifth hour of comedy power every week. Try a single episode, try a month, or splurge for an entire year. It's one of the best ways to help support TMOS. Give yourself, a friend, a loved one, or even your neighbor the gift of laughter. Click that bonus show banner now at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Thank you, Jim Amato, and welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of our program is brought to you by Freshly. My mom, God rest her soul, used to have this word for anything that was confusing to her. She said, "Well, isn't that a bit complicated?" That was what she used to like to say. So, Mom, this one's for you. Getting everything you need to cook dinner can be a little complicated.
Sure.
But with Freshly, it's simple. Freshly has chef-made delicious meals delivered fresh to your door with no cooking required. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every week, so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip the trip to the store. Ordering is easy. Visit Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, better-for-you meals. The variety will astonish you.
Jack.
And the best news of all, hey, Mom, it's not complicated.
No, it's easy.
Freshly can work for any dietary needs, preferences, tastes, and family size. And now, our listeners can try Freshly for just $6.16 per meal. So start living life freshly. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and are ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. And Oscar loves his Freshly because he's not a complicated guy.
He's an easy guy.
It makes it easier. As yesterday I said, even if you love cooking, you don't have to cook when you have Freshly.
No, it tastes great.
Yeah. Now, I'll take Freshly over some of those grocery store things that they offer to try to compete, right? Oh, in a minute. Absolutely. Right now, Freshly offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to Freshly.com/TMOS. Make better eating a priority and get this special limited time offer. Go to Freshly.com/TMOS for $40 off your first two orders. Try Freshly now, and for a limited time, get $40 off your first two orders. Go to Freshly.com/TMOS to learn more so it's not complicated. Open the dumpster thing.
Running late
on the show. Wow, wow. There it is. Who's in there now?
My dear guests, I am Mr. Rock, your host. Welcome to Fantasy Island.
It's Ricardo Montalban.
That's Ricardo Montalban.
I'm excited for the new Fantasy Island.
I have two of them in my TiVo or DVR as the...
I like the lady.
Yes.
And I watched the previews. I will have a review for you guys tomorrow because I'm excited. I loved Fantasy Island. I watched it, as everyone did, on Saturday nights. It was Love Boat and then Fantasy Island. Mr. Rourke,
I wish there
was
there was
a wizard.
A particular model in a penthouse that I stole.
Yes.
And I kind of wish she would just like materialize with her big. No, I don't want to say
no,
that.
No. But, the original premise was it was $50,000 for a fantasy, which seemed extraordinary back then.
And they would arrive, you know, with a
puddle jump. Watch Fantasy Island when you watch it on your TiVo? Will you watch it late at night or in the afternoon? When will you watch it?
I will watch it probably as soon as I get home. What I like to do, Mike, is I wear a button-down shirt usually at work, and I will remove the button-down shirt and replace it with a garment that ties in the back. And then I will remove my pants, and I have they're not socks, really. They're brown terry cloth footies with rubber on the bottom, so I don't slip.
He's been in a hospital recently.
And so what I'm going to do is I will watch Fantasy Island, the first two episodes on Fox. It airs on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. I will watch it from my hospital bed.
Thank you. In black and white, right?
You better get ready. That one's going to go to Thanksgiving, minimum.
Love it.
All right, let's dive into
the dumpster. Here's the great thing, Mike, about baseball. It's been around forever. There have been changes made to the game, but one thing always remains. Announcers can still be stupid.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Last night, his name is Jack Morris. He's the announcer for the Detroit Tigers.
Is he a puker?
Even better, he's racially insensitive.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Here's Detroit Tigers announcer Jack Morris.
Now what do you do with Shohei Ohtani?
Be very, very careful. Shohei Ohtani has come to the plate, and it's been brought to my attention, and I sincerely apologize if I offended anybody, especially anybody in the Asian community, for what I said about pitching and being careful to Shohei Ohtani. I did not intend for any offensive thing, and I apologize if I did. Certainly respect and have the utmost respect for this guy.
Sounds like it. Well said and well handled.
Let's not look.
I'm not going to pile on. He's dumb.
Let's not.
He was a stupid.
And Rob, of all people, you should not be piling on.
I'm just saying that what he did was...
Rob, why he likes Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, so...
I mean, we get everybody... Nobody can throw stones.
Yeah, nobody is immune from this.
All I'm saying is that it was a stupid thing to say, and
his apology was
bungled as well.
Well, yeah, it was dumb. And in this day and age, you just got to be hip to that stuff.
Especially if you have that type of job.
Well, especially since it's been in the news recently.
Yeah.
Right?
Stop Asian hate.
So here is a great baseball story. I love this. He's a player for the Cincinnati Red named Joey Votto or Votto. Votto, I guess it is. V-O-T-T.
Votto, I think.
And they asked him, a lot of times players keep the ball, their first hit or their first home run or whatever.
Right.
They asked him what he did with the ball from his first hit in Major League Baseball.
My very first hit I gave to my dog to eat. And it doesn't exist. Maris, he passed away last year, but he was a young dog. And I just wanted him happy. And maybe it wasn't a good thing to give him. I don't know if you should be giving dogs baseballs, but I did at the time.
That's so refreshing.
My very first major league hit doesn't exist anymore. It was chewed up and spit out by him.
That's fantastic.
If I'm honest with you, if he was still alive, I'd probably give him the 2000th ball to chew up.
Isn't that great?
That's terrific. Cool. I love that. That's real and that's fun. Yeah. I like that. Even if he's BSing, it's great.
I don't know how we got this far in the show without mentioning what today is.
Happy National Helium Day!
National Helium Day.
How many morning shows are going to be bringing
sucking
in balloons
helium.
Today?
Yes, many, almost all of them. But this is why I'm going to bring you a different side of that coin. This is a tape that I can play on National Helium Day, and I'll explain why.
Just holding it
to Hindenburg.
Yep.
400 or 500 feet into the sky. It's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. The smoke and the flames now.
And the flames.
The crash.
Yes. To the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. Oh, the humanity.
That, of course, Herbert Morrison on WLS Chicago covering the Hindenburg disaster of May 6, 1937.
Was that helium?
No, but here's the story. Germany was building rigid airships in the early to mid-30s, and they tried to buy helium from the United States because this is where most of the helium occurs naturally. The okay. Roosevelt administration was looking ahead to the military significance and the possibility of World War II, and the fact that if we sold them helium, they would have an air advantage over us okay. to attack us back. So Roosevelt said, we are not selling any helium to okay. the Germans.
And what did they replace it with?
Replaced it with hydrogen, which is, of course, unstable. And what most people believe is that because it was thunderstorming that day in New Jersey, when they dropped the mooring lines, there was a static electricity discharge, mm-hmm. and it blew up the Hindenburg. It blew up the Hindenburg.
I disagree. I think it was sabotage. I think that the ship, the airship, was sabotaged. I think there were explosives in the airship. And that's what happened.
Was a bigger disaster? The Hindenburg blowing up or the movie with George C. Scott?
Oh, there's never a bad movie with George C. Scott.
Well, you know? The good thing about it is he didn't overact, so that was good.
Gotta get to the explosives!
Okay, and let's close with this. Mike, I pulled this because you actually mentioned him earlier. This is news for Frankie. Seth Meyers actually has a news story that I pulled for Frankie.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to talk about Frankie's pee today.
Oh, then perhaps
probably
tomorrow.
Never will. All right, that's okay. You do whatever you want.
In fact, I never do.
All right, go ahead.
All right, here's news for Frankie.
Police officers in Germany recently resuscitated a chihuahua using CPR. Sadly, no one was willing to give mouth-to-mouth to the St. Bernard.
So sloppy. Ew. That's the digital dumpster. Have a good Wednesday, everybody.
We got to get out of here. And they caught the bad guy in Oscar's house.
That's
so
right.
That's good.
Locked up.
You got to get home.
Apparently from Ohio.
He came across the state line thinking he could escape the law. It did not happen. Tomorrow, more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show for Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak in his hospital bed. This is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Nurse!
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You want to hurt me? Go right ahead if it makes you feel any better.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Yeah.